สวัสดีครับผมชื่อนาทียินดีต้อนรับสู่พอดแคสต์ในนาทีวันนี้ผมจะมาสรุปและรีวิวหนังสือเล่มนี้ Divide Global Inequality from Conquest to Free Markets by Jason Hickel is a work of political economy and global development that examines why wealth and poverty are distributed so unevenly across the world. Rather than treating inequality as a natural outcome of markets or a temporary problem that aid can fix, Hickel argues that it has been
reduced over centuries through conquests,
colonial rule, unequal trade, debt, and the modern structures of globalization. Book is written for a broad audience, so it aims to make complex historical and economic processes understandable without requiring specialized training in economics. Its purpose is both diagnostic and critical. It questions familiar stories about development, poverty reduction, and humanitarian assistance, while also pointing towards structural reforms that would give poorer countries more economic sovereignty. As a result, the book works as both an introduction to global inequality and a challenge to the assumptions that often shape mainstream discussions of development. ผมจะนำเสนอประเด็นสำคัญจากหนังสือเล่มนี้ให้คุณ ประเด็นแรก Global inequality as a historical product of conquest and colonial expansion. Central argument in the book is that the gap between rich and poor countries did not arise by accident and it cannot be explained simply by different levels of effort culture or policy discipline. Hickel places the origins of global inequality in the era of conquest, especially the violent expansion that began with European colonialism. He shows that wealth accumulation in the global north was tied to the extraction of land, labor, minerals, and agricultural surplus from colonized regions. This matters because it changes the moral and analytical frame. If inequality is historically produced, then it is not a neutral condition that just happened to exist. The result of power relationships that advantage some region while weakening others. The book also emphasizes that colonialism did not simply end and disappear. Its form changed, but the underlying pattern of extracting value from poorer regions continued through new economic arrangements.
That historical continuity is one of the book's most important contributions,
because it helps explain why present-day inequality is so durable and why conventional development narratives often fail to address its roots. ประเด็น 2. Why mainstream development stories can hide the real causes of poverty. Hickel is sharply critical of the common story that poverty is mainly a problem of countries being left behind by progress and that international aid will gradually solve it. In his view, this narrative treats poverty as a shortage of money or technical capacity while ignoring the way the global system itself
produces and reproduces deprivation.
Poor countries are not simply disconnected from prosperity, he argues. They are integrated into the world economy on unequal terms, which means they often export value cheaply, hoard expensive finished goods, and remain trapped in subordinate positions. Aid can help with immediate suffering, but the book argues that it often functions as a form of public reassurance, allowing richer countries to appear benevolent while leaving the basic structure of inequality intact. This is an important distinction because it separates symptom management from structural change. Book does not deny that aid can save lives in specific contexts, but it insists that aid should not be mistaken for justice. By challenging the language of development, Hickel pushes readers to ask who benefits from existing arrangements and why poverty persists even in a world of rising aggregate wealth. ประเด็น 3. Hickel integration into the world economy as the mechanism that reproduces poverty. One of the book's most useful ideas is that global inequality is maintained through unequal integration, not simply through isolation or underdevelopment. Hickel explains that poor countries are often pulled into global markets under terms they did not choose, and those terms are shaped by debt,
trade rules, corporate power,
and financial dependence. This means that participation in the world economy does not automatically lead to shared prosperity. Instead, it can lock countries into roles that keep value flowing outward to richer states and multinational institutions. Book's reasoning is persuasive because it shows that market access alone is not enough when the rules of exchange are uneven. Also helps explain why many policy reforms fail. The basic structure rewards cheap labor, resource extraction, and external dependence, then growth can coexist with continuing deprivation. Hickel's analysis is grounded in political economy, so he treats markets as institutions shaped by power rather than as neutral arenas. That framing gives the book much of its force, because it makes inequality look less like an unfortunate outcome and more like a predictable result of the way the global economy has been. ประเด็น 4. Debt governance, politics of control in the global south. The book gives special attention to debt and global governance because both are tools through which wealthy countries and institutions influence poorer ones. Foucault argues that debt burdens can force governments in the Global South to prioritize repayment over public investment, social services, and long-term development. This creates a cycle in which countries remain dependent while being told to pursue responsibility and fiscal discipline. Foucault also criticizes global institutions that shape economic rules without giving poorer nations equal voice. In his account, the problem is not only the amount of money involved, but the power imbalance built into decision-making itself. That is why the book calls for democratizing global governance, rather than relying on voluntary goodwill. Section of the argument is important because it shows how inequality is institutionalized. Control is exercised not only through direct coercion, but through rules, loans, and policy conditions that limit national autonomy. Foucault's proposals, such as debt relief and broader democratic reform, follow from this diagnosis. He is not treating these as symbolic gestures, but as necessary steps if poorer countries are to regain room to shape their own economic futures. But in Sutai, a radical reform agenda built around sovereignty, fairness, and sustainability, the divide is not only a critique of the existing system, but also presents a reform agenda that is intentionally more structural than typical policy discussions. Hiko calls for measures such as abolishing burdensome debt, democratizing international institutions, and establishing an international minimum wage to reduce exploitative labor relations. These ideas are linked by a common principle, the need to rebalance power so that poorer countries are not forced to compete from a
permanently disadvantaged position.
Another important element is the connection between inequality and ecological limits. The book argues that the current model of endless growth, especially when combined with unequal extraction, is difficult to reconcile with environmental sustainability. That makes the argument broader than a standard development critique. It is not just about redistributing income, but about changing the rules of the global economy so that human welfare and ecological survival are not in conflict. This combination of historical diagnosis, political critique, and concrete proposals is what gives the book its distinctive shape. It is willing to be confrontational, but its aim is not cynicism. It is to show that another global order is possible if power is reorganized more fairly. Divide is best suited for readers who want to understand global inequality at a deeper level than standard news coverage or conventional.
Development writing usually allows
students of international development, political economy, history, globalization, and social justice will find it especially valuable. But it is also accessible to general readers who want a clear explanation of why poverty persists despite decades of aid and economic growth. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers distinguish between surface-level reform and structural change. Intellectually, it offers a strong historical framework for understanding how colonial extraction, debt, trade rules, and unequal governance continue to shape the modern world. What makes the book stand out is its combination of breadth and argument. It is not merely descriptive, and it does not stop at criticism. It links history to present-day institutions and then moves towards specific reforms, such as debt relief and democratic global governance. Compared with many books on poverty or development, it is more explicit about power, more historical in method, and more direct in challenging the idea that inequality is natural or inevitable. That makes it a distinctive and important contribution to the field. คุณต้องการสนับสนุน Jason Hickel